The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, all summer we're celebrating Irish food producers and all the gorgeous grub that this island has to offer. And today I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by three dairy producers from all over this island. Will Taylor is with me from Glastonbury Farm in County Down. Catherine Kinsella, founder of Salt Rock Dairy in Wexford. And Valerie Kingston, who's co-owner of Glenillan Farm in West Cork. Thank you all for being with us and travelling long distances to be with us as well, we have to say. Catherine, I'm going to start with you because for you, this was a big departure. You were a nurse. And what possessed you to go into this business?
Isn't that the question? I suppose I've always, food has always been my passion, really. I've always wanted to work in food, but I suppose I slipped into nursing and it was, yeah, the bread and butter career that it was and had served me very, very well for 30 years. And I suppose once kids were kind of got through college and that, I got a new freedom to sort of think about what I wanted to do. And then like so many small businesses that started as a result of COVID, I too was out on a couple of weeks when I wasn't actually sick with COVID. And I had already been looking at the whole milk vending system happening in the UK and kind of wishing I could get involved, because I just feel the quality of milk coming from direct from the farm is very different to that which has been processed. So,
but you were like the rest of us in that you were buying your milk.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had dairy cows,
yes,
on the farm, because you were living on the farm,
yes,
as well, for,
yeah,
nursing. And suddenly you noticed, well, the milk, it tastes very different, yeah, here.
Well, that happened back in 2013 when we turned from dry stock, we were sheep and cattle farming, to dairy. And we started drinking our own milk, as I had grown up doing. And I was going, oh my God, that tastes like what it used to taste like. And then realised that milk that you get from the supermarket now just doesn't taste the same as what coming direct from farm. And I find that frustrating because I feel this quality produce is leaving. And like, our milk is no better than the milk on every other dairy farm in Ireland. It's just, it by the time it's processed, by the time it's standardised, by the time it's homogenised, it's a very different, mm-hmm, product.
So all of
so
that
took me
led
from that
you
till 2021.
To this.
So then, yeah, so then the milk vending system seemed to me the most, I mean, I was very conscious of the waste around plastic and that. Wherefore, with milk vending, people have their own bottle, they come back and they refill it, and it's a self-service system at the vending machine. Now, because we're quite remote where we are, well, relatively remote, people weren't going to know to come to the farm. So I put it in a trailer and it's mobile. So I moved the vending machine around during the week from, you know, from our own farm for 3 days of the week. It goes into Gorey on a Wednesday, Arklow on a Thursday, to Inch on a Friday, back into the farmer's market in Gorey on a Saturday, and then back home again. So that was that. And then I suppose I was finding in the evening when I was changing one tank to another, I maybe had 20 or 30 litres left in the tank. So I said, I need to do something with that. And as a result, yogurt was born. So I do a Greek style yogurt, very small scale, just for local customers, really. Sell a little bit online. We don't push the online very hard. Something we probably should look at. And then I suppose I grew up on farmer's butter. My mum made farmer's butter all of my life. And it's not it's what we now call cultured butter, but farmer's butter was always cultured. So I wanted to explore that a bit. Got a bit of help from Chagask, and they worked with me around developing the cultured butter. So that's where we're at now. We're kind of making a lot of cultured butter. We season it with Wexford sea salt, which is an incredible local salt.
This is the Salt Rock butter, which I see wrapped there beautifully, yeah, in front of me. And there's restaurants stocking this and serving,
yeah,
this?
Yeah, there's been a few restaurants have been very good to, especially here in the city, like Comet, which is only around the corner really from here, were the first ones to take us, and they use it as their table butter. And then Note are all on Fenian Street are also using us. Bread 41 have been really good as well. It's their breakfast butter, a kind of the goes
right
on their,
well,
breakfast plate.
Let's find out the story now of some of our others. Glastonbury Farm in County Down. Will, you're very welcome to the programme. Thank you for being with us this morning. When did this start for you, diversifying into producing food?
Okay, it probably started on a hillside in Slovenia, believe it or not. I was on a Nuffield scholarship in 2004-05, looking at the opportunities for agri-food in what was then the New Europe. And this hill, 5 hectares, what's that? 12 or 13 acres. And there's two things in life you can't hide, wealth and poverty. And this oozed wealth. They were producing wines for the Italian market. They were producing ciders for the home market. And the whole place was buzzing.
So instead of selling their apples, they were selling cider.
Absolutely. And Will was on a dairy farm in County Down, right out on the East Coast. And I had come from a situation where when I come home from college, we were milking something like 30 cows. And by that stage, we were milking a couple of hundred. And in actual fact, now we're probably about 400. And but at that point, I felt we're in the commodity market, Will. And really, we have got to move a bit nearer the consumer. Mm-hmm. And we've got to move towards the consumer with a product like Catherine that is different. We have the raw material, but we're not doing anything with it other than sending it on a lorry.
Okay.
Something or other.
You decided we're going to make the thing that people really want,
yep.
Which led you eventually to what? Tell people what you make.
Okay. So we started an innovation program, product development at the Food Technology Centre. They come up with six original products back in 2006. Of those, actually five still remain, which is quite an achievement in the retail food service market. And they were upmarket. We had the raw material in terms of quality, whether it's compositional quality or bacteriological quality. So it's in the top 3%. So we had the basic raw material to produce a super product. And that's where we positioned mm-hmm. ourselves.
Sorbet is your thing, is it?
We had numerous requests from chefs. We now supply probably 60% anyway, somewhere in that region of 4 and 5 star hotels in the northern part of Ireland. And that includes right down into Leinster here. And chefs keep asking us, right, well, here you've arrived. You've arrived with these upmarket dessert ice creams. But we are also looking for sorbets. We're looking for lower fat, lower sugar, higher fibre, high fruit content. Once again, we went back to Food Technology Centre and gave them a brief. This is what we want. And sorbets has always been seen as flavoured water. So
palate cleanser.
Yeah.
But it's moved on from that now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Follow the soup course with a sorbet. We have really taken hold of the market in terms of putting sorbets where you, on a Friday or Saturday night, look at the dessert menu and you have a Glastry Farm sorbet that can equal or surpass a dessert ice cream.
Okay.
And that's where we're at.
That's where you're at. And Glenillan Farm, of course, very well known, Valerie, and you're very welcome. Thank you for being with us as well. You have such an array of products in front of you that people will know very well. But this had all very simple beginnings as well, didn't it?
Indeed, yes. I had the privilege of growing up on a dairy farm, a small dairy farm, and everything was homegrown and homemade. And I ended up doing food science in UCC. And when Alan and I got married, I wanted a similar upbringing for our family. And I thought the farm was big enough to support a family. But So I love making food from scratch and growing things. So with the background that I had, I started making yogurt in the kitchen and selling it at the local Bantry country market. And then farmers market started. And one Friday I came home and I had made £100 from my 2 saucepans of milk. And that was kind of the eureka moment then for Alan. And he came into the kitchen to help me. And that was probably the most stressful time of the business. And the family was starting as well. But I'm passionate about producing wholesome, healthy food and gut health. as well, and the all that recent research about looking after your gut. Mm-hmm. And here in Ireland, we have the top world-class milk to work with. It's a fantastic product. So I'd seen all this milk going off to the creamery, and just to be able to add some value, we were making cheesecakes and yogurts and butter. Now, 30 years later, there's a yogurt factory. It's in the farm. We didn't set out to start a business. There was no big plan. We're not business people, really. But we have a fantastic team working with us back on
the
farm.
And you use the milk from lots of other farmers
from
as well, do you?
From our neighbours. It's all Drimaleague milk going into our products. We don't actually milk ourselves now, we buy it because so we're making
it's a huge change, isn't it, from the two big saucepans and the market to where
change.
You are now.
But the feedback that we got at the farmers markets, it gives you a bit of a buzz, and we just at that stage we just said, oh sure, we'll go along for the ride and see where it ends up, with no idea where it was going to end up. But you know, Borbia Enterprise Ireland, they all help you along. There is great support there and help.
Do you look at Catherine and you see Catherine almost sort of at the start of your
absolutely
road?
Watch out, Catherine. Yeah. See what could happen.
Do you wonder if I'm mad?
But it's so satisfying to be able to produce good quality milk, good quality products, and they're healthy and wholesome, where there's too much processed, ultra processed foods.
So
out
as
there.
You look at Catherine now, would you do it all again?
That's the most exciting stage.
I'm still at that stage. When you say about the markets there, like we're in two markets, apart from the trailer is a market in itself every day, but we're in Gorey Farmers Market in St. Olaf's here in Sandyford. And to be getting that feedback direct from the customer and be still that closely connected to the customer. My daughter does the St. Olaf's market generally on a Friday for me, because I'm lucky enough she works a Monday to Thursday job, and I had to do it last Friday, and I got such a kick out of being back up there meeting those people that I initially met at the market. So I think that piece is exciting at this stage. The rest of it's not that exciting by times. There's a lot of stress.
But people are very supportive of buying Irish.
Fantastic.
And they want to know where their food comes from. And it's incredible that 70% of the yogurts for sale in Ireland are actually imported. So that's quite, it's a challenge that makes the industry, you know, exciting. There's such potential out there in a dairy country.
I know that's a very high statistic, isn't it? 70%. But do you think people are now more than ever seeking out Irish products?
I do, definitely. Yeah, maybe people think some of these products are Irish brands or whatever. But definitely people want to know where their food is coming from, the provenance and the story behind the food.
Well, what have you to say about that? You know, Irish people, do they want to buy Irish when it comes to dairy in particular?
I think there's a common theme emerging here, Claire. And it's one of natural, of healthy, with a big, big H, and good for you, because the whole problem here in the island of Ireland, and indeed in Western Europe, is obesity, and particularly child obesity and young adult obesity. It's costing the health service billions and billions of pounds in an attempt to rectify it with, you know, now the jab, they think, is going to be the solution to it. But it starts at the beginning with natural food. And I feel that we maybe are the disciples in terms of that progress path. We all three of us have attempted to take out things like e-numbers, like artificial flavourings, things that crop up in the small print in processed food time and time again. And the manufacturers really, really, really are hoodwinking the general public with what they're producing.
Well, we've all become so accustomed, haven't we, to all of those extra added things that we don't rightly understand.
It has to start with education, really, in the schools, in the primary schools, so people can make informed choices when they read a label and know, do they need all this protein? Do I need more fibre? These are the people need to be able to make informed choices and not spend all this money on ultra-processed food. And
Catherine, let's talk about what you're producing again. So you're selling the milk from the tank. That's the vending machine. Then the byproducts are?
The byproducts are the yogurt and the butter. We do a flavoured milk as well. So when you're on the trailer, you can put a syrup into your bottle and then add your milk. Now, I don't stand over the syrup. It is sugar, water and e-colours.
But if you want, it's quite
clear for people to see that that's what it is.
But if that's what you want.
But if that's absolutely, if you can get 950 mils of good milk into kids for the sake of that other small bit, it's probably worth it. And then the butter. And then I suppose from the butter, we then ended up with skim milk, because obviously if you remove the cream, you're left with a skim milk and in volume, because like every 10 litres, you'll only get 1 litre of cream for every 10 litres of milk. So that's 9 litres
of
skim.
So you have a lot of milk.
So you have a lot of skim milk. So that's a real challenge. And I'm having to buy some cream at the moment because of that. But what I'm doing with the skim milk is I'm culturing it and I'm producing kefir milk.
Yes.
So
now,
that's
explain
your
to me what that is, because I see Valerie has one as well there, the kefir protein pouch. What is that stuff?
So kefir is a fermented milk, really. It's something that started sort of in Eastern Europe, kind of Eurasia and that, oh, generations ago. I always feel that buttermilk is the Irish equivalent, because my dad would have always talked about bringing buttermilk to the field with them when they were kids. So I would say
to drink.
Yeah. Mm. And it's about your gut health. It's about improving your gut health. And we've all been hearing over the years, last number of years, how important your gut health is, both for your mental health and your physical health. And it has proven itself. So the kefir, it's a very simple product. But it's for me, what Valerie has is a yogurt there, which is a spoonable. Mine is a drinkable kefir, but it's all the same.
So how do you make it from the skim milk?
Well, if you're making it very traditionally, you'd be using a thing called kefir grains. And that's a bit like your sourdough culture. Do you know, it's along that same lines. Now, I don't use that because I only have one small dairy. And if I was to use that, I would end up, there's a lot of yeast in those grains. So I'd end up with yeast in my milk. I will someday have a separate culture room for doing it. So I'm using a freeze dried culture for mine. So you literally heat up the milk to a high temperature to work on the proteins. Cool it right back down to about 20 degrees, add your culture, leave it sitting for 12, 24 hours. And then I would kind of put it in the cool room and I'd leave it for another 4 or 5 days before it being used. It has a long shelf life. I put 3 weeks on it. I don't know what you put on yours, Valerie, but yeah. But I would use it myself well beyond that, because actually the cultures, because kefir will culture at a very low temperature, even in your fridge, the cultures are still building up and they're improving all the time.
Right. And you're making this as well, Valerie, in a yogurt. And that's meeting demand, isn't it? Because there's a lot of demand now for healthy products, or products that people feel are going to help them and their gut health in particular.
Yes, fermented foods have been proven to be good for your gut. And this is one way of adding to that. There's 14 different strains of bacteria in this, and the more good strains you have down in your tummy.
Okay, the better. And are you constantly looking at developing new products at Glenelg?
Yes, we have to try and keep everything fresh and new. And the latest thing that we've done now is this big pouch of yogurt. So it's a kilo of yogurt, and our pouches are all transitioning over to fully recyclable material. So, that's what we're looking at. And we'll be looking at fibre as well. All about fibre.
All right. That'll be the next thing. What about for you, Will? I mean, do you stick with the frozen products, or are you always looking ahead?
Yeah, we're exclusively frozen. We feel that we have moved pretty dramatically from 2006, 20 years ago. We're celebrating 20 years Glastonbury Farm ice cream. And in actual fact, we're celebrating 170 years of Glastonbury Farm as a dairy farm, 1856 to the present day.
That is a long time, isn't it? Congratulations to you.
I don't think John and Isabella Taylor, who started it off, could ever have imagined that vans or lorries would have been leaving the farmyard with dessert ice cream.
I'm sure they wouldn't have imagined that.
Yogurts and talking about obesity at that point.
The other thing we're marking the anniversary of course, is Brexit. 10 years since Brexit last week. How did that affect you, or did it?
Brexit has been a major change to what we do in the north. Obviously, I am not a Brexiteer, as you'll probably gather. It has influenced a lot of the decisions that we make. Simple things like bringing in flavourings from GB requires a bureaucratic nightmare. Now, a bureaucratic nightmare in our case is extra staff and extra work, which is affects small businesses proportionally more than large businesses. So that is the first thing. The selling point is in the north that we have dual access to the EU, Republic of Ireland, and GB. That's okay going out, but coming in,
it's a
simple
problem.
Things adds cost.
In terms of challenges for you, Valerie, is it when you're looking at expanding your business or staffing your business as it is it down to workforce? Because we hear that a lot, that it's difficult
definitely.
To find people.
Sourcing skilled labour is a huge challenge. We need fitters, electricians. We were recruiting for a fitter, maintenance fitter. We tried Ireland, Europe, and eventually we got somebody from Pakistan down to West Cork. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all having those problems of sourcing skilled labour and then accommodation as well.
Of course, that's the follow-on problem,
yes.
isn't it? And
yes.
you mightn't be, Catherine, facing those kind of problems yet because you're
no.
not expanding at that scale.
No.
But do you see expansion as a problem or something that you're looking forward to?
Well, I suppose a bit of both. It's a necessity at the moment, and that's where I'm at. I mean, we're in a very small space that I'm working from. And if I want to take on staff, I'm going to need more space to work. So I'm really at that point of going, do I try and expand on the farm, which will involve planning permissions and building and everything else, which pushes it all out? Or do I go rent somewhere and try and build a business and then justify coming back to build on the farm?
You're at an inflection point, as they say.
That's the word, I think, Claire.
Yeah,
so it is challenging.
It is such a pleasure to meet you all. And thank you very much for coming in to see us. So a reminder of those wonderful places, Glastree Farm in County Down, Salt Rock Dairy in County Wexford, and Glenillan Farm, of course, in West Cork. Thank you to the three of you for being with us. Back after...
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.